Since there is not any activity elsewhere, we're doing some work here. And there are some who say that if we were to cut out our distillation program, we'd lose quite a few of our sponsors of the SRP. So we're continuing to do it, even though it's not, shall we say, the in thing or the popular thing to do.
I have some other brief notes. We've talked about a little bit about your students. Is there any other comments you'd like to make about your graduate students and some of the things they've done since they've left here?
Well, my graduate students have, for the most part, gone into industry. And I'm not all that proud. I would like to have more of my graduates in academia. It's probably me and my philosophy. But those going into industry have gone into some very good positions, and they are doing very well. So I'm very proud of these graduates. I would like for more of them to be in teaching. I have a couple of them in industry that I think eventually will go into teaching. But this is not just me. That's something is traditional with this department that represents, I think, a problem. If one would pick Berkeley, Wisconsin, MIT, Minnesota, many of our top, Michigan to some extent, many of our top chemical engineering educators took their PhDs at these schools. I think we could do better if we worked at it and got our students more involved in teaching, and also took their credentials to our friends in academia. And I think it's a problem we need to work on here, because it's not only that some of our people ought to be in teaching, but it also has a lot to do with ratings and rankings of institutions. I don't know whether you remember, not long ago, there was a U.S. News and World Report on programs, including engineering programs. And they had two rankings, one by academia, deans mostly, and the other by industry. We ranked number two in the country by industry. They like our graduates. They do well. They like the kind of work we do here. We were 10th by the academicians, which is not all that bad out of 150 or more schools, but if we had more people in teaching, I think that ranking would be higher. So I suppose one could say that if these students really liked what they saw around the building, what the faculty do, how they live, how well they like their work, more of them might want to do what we do. Doesn't seem to be working that way. Something I knew when I came here, and something I've been working on to some extent, but we haven't made a lot of progress. Some, we have. Oh, every year we'll send a couple of people into academia, somewhere in the world. Our last one went out was one of our biotech people, went out to the University of Washington in Seattle. But I wish I had more of my students in teaching.
You have been on very active, and we mentioned this earlier, in the AICHE, going way back to early Texas days.
Yes.
And you've been on many committees and quite active in a number of areas. Are there any particular AICHE activities that have more meaning to you or more important to you?
There's one in particular. When I was in Dayton, I was asked to serve on a blue ribbon committee of the AICHE called the Dynamic Objectives Committee. And why I was on it, I don't know, but the eminent chemical engineering people at that time were on this committee. That includes Gilliland from MIT and Chilton from DuPont, Katz from Michigan, Haugen from Wisconsin, Elgin from Princeton. And that, of course, was highly inspirational, just to be sitting around the table with these people and to get to know them. But I found myself on a three-person writing committee to write the report. It was a very extensive report published in CEP. Katz, Charles Wilkie from Berkeley, and I, and we had a number of meetings to put this report together. And it was a good report. It was a report that was read and used, and the experience of meeting with these people was just highly motivating. And now, in recent years, there was a second Dynamic Objectives Committee, and I did not participate on that one. But that first one was really something. That was a great thing. Other than that, I would say heading up the Publications Committee, and at another time the Continuing Education Committee was of great interest. I would say the Continuing Education Program has been a big thing with me, and it's been a good program for the AICHE. We thought through the years much better than any of the other founder societies would have. Sue Churchill teaches in that program, for example. So we've got some good people in it.
You've given...
The course that I teach...
Rather large number, I believe.
The course that I teach has been given... It's getting close to 100 times now. And to... I would guess around 3,000 people. Still going strong. In fact, we've just expanded it now from a 2-day course to a 3-day course. So it's been a popular course, but we've had a lot of other good courses, and we've had good management at AICHE of this program. There's a person there that you may have run across named Hal Abramson, and he's good. So we will have 3,000 to 4,000 people a year taking these courses. Things are off a little bit this year because of the recession. We've held these courses at meetings and also on an in-house basis for companies. We've had them at local sections. So the AICT has been very aggressive about this. It's been a good program. So I would say the continuing education activity has been a close second to the Dynamic Objectives Committee activity.
You have off and on mentioned certain consulting activities, and I just wanted to treat that as a separate area because you do list a large number of companies that you have consulted with over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered whether you wanted to make some comments about that.
Well, my since coming here, of course, I've been permitted to consult. Couldn't do that at Monsanto. I would say that the best of these relationships has been with Air Products. It's a great company. It's a company that values good technical effort and invests in good technical effort. I think while this was an Air Products tradition, I think that there is an individual there that's had a lot to do with this. His name is Thibault Brian, B-R-I-A-N. He was on the MIT faculty, was recruited by Air Products, is on the board and a senior vice president, but he still likes to involve himself at a technical level. And so Thibault has been able to convince management that an investment let's say a priori in checking out the technical detail is a good investment. Don't just plunge in. So the group there is a high powered group, a very stimulating group. Now I have not been permitted to consult at Monsanto, so I don't consult for Monsanto. You wouldn't see that on the list, I don't think.
No.
Because I am a retiree of Monsanto. But Air Products is really a... and I've been on retainer there for a number of years, and I've made many, many visits to Allentown. I've also visited overseas for Air Products. It's a great company. They have a history out that I'm sure is in your collection, out of thin air.
Right?
But I also get involved with smaller organizations in actual design. I've designed a number of facilities that have been built and run. There have been some cases where my design didn't work out quite like it was supposed to, and I will take a trip next month out west on one of these, see what we can do to correct the operation. But I still enjoy sitting around the table doing this. Next week after next, I'm going to spend 4 days in the East. Retained to review a process design from start to finish, looking for any possible pitfalls, sort of troubleshooting a design. The company that has this assignment really does not have a lot of strength in chemical engineering and got involved more from a process safety point of view. Now the client wants a full review by me of what they've done. I don't have any conflicts of interest on it. I don't have any agreements with other firms that would deal with this particular chemistry and engineering. But that's still a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have in storage here a lot of drawings that I work with on this, so I'd like to try to keep my hand in.
you do computer design now? Is that?
Well, yes and no. I'll tell you why that's a little hard to answer. If I have developed the program, I can more or less on my own time, I can use it. If I have developed it for the University of Texas in some way, I can only use it by some arrangement with the university. That gets to be difficult. So I have a lot of my own programs, but let's take the case of using the Aspen simulator. Or we also have the SimSci simulator or the ChemShare simulator. Our agreement with these companies is that it will not be used for consulting, which is quite understandable. So in many cases I find myself working, say I'm out at some plant, and we need to have a heat exchanger analyzed by, really the only way is to use a computer program. I will phone up a friend and I'll say, here, these people want to use your program, and we'll pay for it. And so they work it that way. So that's an interesting question. And I would certainly not to do by hand a lot of these. But, for example, I've bought software to do distillation systems. That's my property. Adsorption systems. Extraction systems. So I could do that. But if it was developed with university funds, then there are restrictions. We're right into that now in our expert system work. Now, they're the property of the university because they're developed here with university facilities and people. So it's kind of an interesting area. But if I'm going to design a distillation column for some client, I'll use one of my own programs. And it's remarkable what you can get for something like a PS2 or a 386 or 486 that used to require a large mainframe system.
I'm pretty much at the end of my question, okay. But I did want to ask you a little bit about your family. I know you have three children. You've already told me when you were married in 1950, I believe.
Yes. And we've celebrated our 42nd anniversary. Yes, my wife's maiden name was Merle, M-E-R-L-E, Innes. And our first child came in 1951. And he...
That's James Rutherford III.
Yes. He was quite a tremendous student, and he went to Rice to study architecture. As part of his program there, he spent a year in the Netherlands studying under an architect. So he spent 7 years. He got the 3 degrees, the Bachelor of Science, the Bachelor of Architecture, and the Master of Architecture. And he's with a company that now, he says, is the largest architectural firm in the country. And he's a senior vice president. He's quite prominent in the firm, so he's done well. They have two children. Number two child is a daughter, Elizabeth, who graduated from the University of Indiana as a journalist, worked for a couple of newspapers for several years as a reporter, went back for an MBA degree, and went into marketing work, first with Coca-Cola and then with Quaker Oats. And she is now a homemaker with a child. And they lost their home in Oakland, but they were in the process of relocating to the Chicago area. So they're there temporarily now. They've gotten their insurance settlement and are starting to look for a house. The third child, Richard, came 8 years after the second child. He got a bachelor's degree from Trinity University in San Antonio and tried the banking business, but at a bad time. Went back for an MBA and got interested in healthcare. He is now with a company named Manor Care. Their stock's on the big board. They have retirement homes all over the country. They also have hotels all over the country. They have Quality Inns, several different chains of motels and hotels. So they're in that kind of business. But this young man seems to be dedicated to working with elderly people. And if you have had experience with nursing homes or rest homes, you know that it takes a certain type of individual to put up with that. I would never do it. And he's very good at it. They all love him. He is a management trainee. And will be assigned to run a home within the next few months. This company is headquartered up in the Washington, D.C. area, in Maryland. Silver Springs, Maryland. It's pretty big. You might say that's a growing field. It's bound to expand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have the problem of working with Medicare, I guess, which does not provide all of the money needed for, let's call it one of the more prestigious homes. But in many cases, there is a supplement from savings of the family. So that's the interesting one. So we've got healthcare. We have three children with master's degrees. And we have an architect, a marketing person, and she'll go back to work. And a healthcare person. It's kind of interesting. So
no engineers, no scientists. And that's not unusual.
I guess it really isn't.
I've noticed this with a number of people I've talked to. And in my own family. Same thing.
Well, we've, they won't come out and admit it, but I'm not sure they liked what they saw. Their father was away a good bit, come in late many evenings. So,
but yeah, as you said way back at the beginning when you were selecting where your life was going to go, chemical engineering was the glamour area, and it was a place to get a job.
Yes.
Perhaps more important than anything else. That was.
I think that influenced many people. I'm sure it did me. I might have wanted to be a railroad person. But chemical engineering was a good field. It was an interesting field. But as you think back, I expect this happened to you, I could probably have been happy in law or in other fields. Teach history. But it's been a good one. And I would say, Jim, that in my view, I've been involved in chemical engineering at a very good time. We had the surge at the end of the 30s, and then with the war, we had that exciting time after the war when at least the petrochemical industry was really taking off, and that was an exciting time. And it's simply been a good time to be involved. You know, talk about railroads, I've said, well, I'm sure I was born about 10 years too late, because I could have had 10 more years of riding behind steam locomotives. But I still got to see a lot of steam locomotives and still practice chemical engineering. And if I may say so, I think I've demonstrated, at least to myself, that you can work in engineering, you can work on something that's fun to work on, you can still make some money. So, you couldn't ask for more than that.
I think on that note, we'll stop.
Okay.
That's a good place to stop. And I want to thank you very, very much for spending the day with me.
Oh, this has been quite an experience for me. I hope that you can make some sense out of the recording.
Oh, I don't think that'll be any problem.
And